Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
I was also rejoicing in everyone that received the gift of the Holy Ghost last night. The outpouring of the Spirit was amazing, and all that were hungry received. Did you know that? I should say all that hadn't yet received. That's 100%. Good and sunny night, the healing miracles that God did. And I see folks in the audience right now that are well that way when we first came to town. But hey, how about now? How about now? Who needs a miracle tonight? Who wants a miracle tonight? It's available. It's right here. It's for you. You know, you can have as much as you want. Do you want anything? Let me say again, you can have as much as you want. Do you want anything? Is there a burn within you? Is there a desire within you? That's what opens your heart to the great things of God. I've told people all over the earth, I'm way more concerned about people's hunger level than I am their faith level. I really am. It's the hungry and the thirsty that get filled. That's how it really comes about. Now I'm going to ask you to do tonight. Thank you for a little more volume. I appreciate that. Good. I'm going to ask you to do tonight what we did Sunday night. And that is that I want you to identify something you want God to do in your life tonight. I believe in bringing our faith into a now moment. I don't believe that the procrastination of faith will ever do us any good. You say, what do you mean by procrastination of faith? That is by the end of the week, I'm going to get my answer. The end of the week never comes. You understand that? It never at the end of the week never comes. By the time you get to the end of the week, you'll be projecting it into the next week. It'll be at the end of next week, by the end of next week. And that'll go the rest of your life like that. You need to bring the moment into the now because it's here right now. See, there's no one that needs to wait to get saved. Is that right? No one needs to say, well, I think that maybe next month I can go ahead and do that. You can do it right now. Right now, and the same with divine healing. I told you Sunday, if you know how to get saved, you know how to get everything God does. So you can get it right now. In fact, if you don't get it now, you won't get it at all. Good night. What is that all about? You're saying there won't be people healed tomorrow? No, but when it comes to tomorrow, they have to bring that into the now tomorrow. Did you get that? That's the way you receive wonderful things from the Lord. Wow. And I've already witnessed within my spirit and my eye the healing stream of God that's in this room. I know he's here. I know he's here. You say that all the time. Well, I do say it most of the time. Sometimes I don't see it, then I know we're going to lay hands on people, and they'll still get healed. But I've already witnessed the flow of God in this room, so I know that there's healing here right now. Now, someone needs to say, that means I'm going to get it. You grab that as a personal thing, then that will be me. You'll reach out and grab. You say, isn't that greedy? No, that's just bringing yourself into alignment and harmony with the blessing and the function. And you're in step with what God is doing. It's not like if you get it, someone else can't. Is it just me or does it blow your mind too when someone says, well, I've got a need, but my need's not as great as her need, so let's just go with this. As if the Lord's up there saying, I'm so glad they both didn't go for this thing tonight because I'm just, my back's been killing me all day and it just, I don't know that I could carry. Come on, guys. I think when he gets through healing everybody in the house, he won't even need to sleep in tomorrow morning. I believe what he'll do with great ease among us. Thank you for your giving tonight. Your support of our ministry all week long, really, is so deeply, deeply appreciated. And tonight's offering was the final offering we're going to take for our Family Life and U.S. Ministry. Tomorrow night's offering, I know I haven't mentioned it up to this point, and I probably should have. But anyhow, tomorrow night's offering is going to be separated, set apart exclusively for our overseas crusades, for what we do around the world, predominantly on the continent of Africa, which will be happening just shortly. In fact, let me tell you the opportunity that is before us in our first African crusade, which will be in the northern part of Tanzania. We'll be reaching out into an area where it's rarely seen that a white person would go and preach the gospel. It will be in an area that is predominantly non-Christian. There will be hundreds, even thousands, that will come and receive the gospel. It happens every time we go, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Tanzania has followed my ministry, and we are friends, and he has asked that that I would take in about 50 to 60 of their national evangelists and train them in this open-air crusade, not only in the area of deliverance and healing, which they tend to function in pretty well, but especially in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's really kind of a sad testimony. It really is. But I have now been ministering in Tanzania for quite some time, and here's what they keep on saying to me when I go into the area. We have a lot of Americans that will come and preach. They'll preach salvation. Many of them will preach divine healing, but they don't preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's absurd. In fact, one of the bishops, or what they call them bishops here, we call them presbyters here, said, "I've never seen anyone come over and preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost." That's a sad story. That's a sad story. But God has given us extraordinary grace in seeing people filled with the Spirit. So much so that we had just last year, just in two of the Tanzanian crusade services, we had a combined total of 3,700 people that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine that? In the first service, it was 2,500 that received the Holy Ghost, and it happened all within 10 minutes, and it happened to a people who had, up to that point, never embraced the gospel at all. We're not talking about seekers or chronic seekers. We're talking about clueless people who had no idea what in the world we were even talking about. They were having their first exposure to the gospel. In fact, I asked the Lord when I was standing in front of the crowd, I said, "How do you preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit to a people who haven't even accepted Christianity?" Now, I've been hearing the flimsy excuses from pastors in classical Pentecostal churches in America today as to why they're not praying with people to get the Holy Ghost, why they're not having services for it. Because I'm telling you, you know, your church may, but the bulk of them are not doing it today. I mean, they still believe it, they're just not doing it. Boy, that's a thought altogether in itself. But when I ask them, they say, "Well, you know, most of our folks are new converts. And there, you know, we need to disciple them. They need to get built up a little bit. Some of them come from other areas, like churches that don't believe it. So we're kind of work them up to that point." And I just look at them and tell them the truth. "Well, what you're telling me is you're never going to do it." Because the New Testament pattern was not people should repent and then be discipled for months and months and months and then receive the Holy Ghost. They were expected to receive the Holy Ghost immediately upon hearing the gospel. But anyhow, I just said to God within my heart, I said, "Lord, how?" And I was in an area that was overwhelmingly Islam, which I've told you that because a lot of the areas we go to today are that way. Not all of them, but this one absolutely was. And I said, "God, how do you preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost to folks like this?" And he just said these words to me. He said, "They'll just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel." Now, let me explain. When he said preach the gospel, then your pastor, the wise theologian that is in the back here now overlooking all, every one of us, knows that the gospel is not how to manage your money. The Bible does talk about that, but that's not what the scriptures identify as the gospel. You understand? The gospel is not how to raise your children. The scriptures do clearly address that, but that's not what the scriptures identify as the gospel. The gospel has to do with the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to me, "Dale, just preach the gospel." So I got up before that crowd, and I said to them, "Let me tell you about the one who was God and then came to this earth through a virgin made flesh and walked among us, demonstrated both in word and in power what God is like in his kingdom, and then went to Calvary and bore all of our sin, put it to death, as well as our diseases, rose from the dead because Jesus is alive. Come on, Jesus is alive. And then he walked among us for about 40 days as he revealed and showed himself periodically. And then just before he left, because he ascended right in front of people's eyes, he made two promises. I said, do you know what those promises were? Of course, that crowd had no idea. They listened carefully. I said, let me tell you the promises that he made. He made two before he vanished right in front of their eyes. Number one, he said, I'm coming back again. Come on, does anybody in this room believe he's coming back again? I know we do, all right? And then he said something else. He said, before I do that, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I said, and today on these grounds, people are going to speak now in praise unto God in languages they've never learned. There are going to be people all over these grounds that are going to talk in angel languages tonight. We called them to repentance, and then when they came, we separated those from the bulk of the crowd and called upon him who is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You should be with me in one of those moments because for the first, I'm going to say at least a solid 3 minutes, you're going to say to yourself, this was a really bad idea. You will, because unlike in the healing services, they start pouring up to show their miracles. I tell them, here's how you're going to receive. You're going to worship the one who is this baptizer, and it'll open to you the great gifts of God. And they don't know how to worship God. Praise the Lord is not part of their vocabulary. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're not conservative people. They've never said praise the Lord before. No one in their house says praise the Lord. No one says glory to God. That's not part of the vocabulary. So I say you must worship the King, and this is what they do. It's truth. It's truth. Now, I myself, my interpreter, the worship team, will bless him. I said, listen, here's how you praise God. Think of something wonderful he's done for you and tell him about it. I said, now look, most of you have gotten healed. Most of the people that responded to salvation call experienced Christ as healer first. That's how it happens. And I said, now every one of you have become born of the Spirit. He's redeemed you. He's brought life within you. Just tell him thank you for that. And it will come. It comes as a suddenly moment. Every time. Every time. And I tell him once, I said, I'll know it when it happens. The heavens open up. Do you believe this? This gift is a miracle. No, come on. It's a miracle. It's not something you teach people into. It's a miracle. And I said, I'll know it when it opens up. I'll realize it. And I will shout it out to you. I'm going to say, receive the Holy Ghost. That's what I told you last night. And I said, when I do, and this is what I'll switch to Swahili. I don't know a lot, but I know just enough to get me in trouble. And I'll say to them, at that point, I want to say, Aponikingaraza. And Aponiki Swahili. Which means no more English and no more Swahili. And I'll tell them, no more tribal language. I'm going to shut your mouth. The next word that comes will come from him, and then you speak it. And I got to tell you what. You've been in a service where two or three or four or five got the Holy Ghost, and you know an exhilarating moment that's like. You should see what happens when he drops like that. I'm telling you what, when the power of God hits that group, and it will come in just, it'll come almost all at one time. Almost all at one time. It happens within 3 to 5 minutes that you'll see, and in that case, 2,500 people just exploded. Praying out in the Holy Ghost. A handful of U.S. people that were with me for the crusade told me, I said, get into the crowd now and begin to lay hands on people. And their confession to me was, we could not find someone that was not already speaking with other tongues. Yeah. And you say, well, how could you know? Well, if you've been around it, you know the difference. You can be in France where they speak French, but when they get the Holy Ghost, you can tell they're not speaking in French, even though you don't know French. You can tell the difference of what we did by the witness and the raising of hands and such like that afterwards. And by the way, we've had two people so far in our ministry overseas that have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with other tongues, and that other tongue was English. That's an amazing moment. And when they do, when the African receives the gift of the Holy Ghost and speaks in English, he does so without an African accent. And that's where you know that you know that you don't have someone that knows a little bit of English and is praising God some. I mean, we find out by conversation with them thereafter, but you know way ahead of time, because my interpreter, who's been with me for years and speaks wonderful English, if he was here tonight, you would know he wasn't born in Toledo. You would know, open his mouth, you'd know right away that heavy African accent is there, and they get it without that. But anyhow, tomorrow night, your giving is going to help us reach the nations of the world. But the Assemblies of God have asked me to bring these men in. Now I see Brother Steve here tonight. God bless you, man. And you understand when they say, we'd like you to take care of some pastors that are coming in, when they're not saying, be kind to them. They're not saying, welcome them. They're saying, pay their way. And they've told me that it would be about $1,000 to cover those guys to come on in. Now, what an incredible opportunity. What an incredible opportunity for $1,000 to invest in the lives of those evangelists that will work across that country. So I told them, bring them on in. That's going to be their housing. That's going to be their food. We're not paying them a salary. That'll be their housing. That'll be their food to take care of it. Tomorrow night's offering is going to be to help us reach the nations. That would be a great benchmark to start with, to believe God for at least $1,000 to cover those guys, and then if we get more than that, we'll work on the airfare for me. Tammy and Ginger, it's good to see you girls here tonight too. Also, people who love the Lord and are deep in ministry, we value you very, very, very much. Wow, wow. Now you just came back from Kenya, didn't you, Steve? Yesterday. So do you really know where you're at right now? I mean, is your head clear yet? Wow, I've been watching on Facebook what God was doing. Look phenomenal, brother. But it happens every time you go. I know. Man of great faith, Mr. Steve Foss. Hey, are you ready for it now? The word of the Lord? Are you ready for it now? All right. Here's what I want to talk about. I started alluding a moment ago that it is essential that you bring your faith into a now moment within your life. And so I want to go to that place in Scripture tonight, because I believe that what we preach is what He does. That was a shouting point. You missed that one. Oh, my God. You missed that one. Terrible. What we declare is what He is accomplishing. You know, when the Lord puts a message within my heart, I never say to a people, well, I wonder what God will do. I already know what He'll do. It's not that I think I'm as smart as the Most High, but He never has me preach something that He's not doing. You get that? And the word of the Lord, I told you, is creative in its nature and its characteristic. It brings forth those very things that's being declared. Now, I've got 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in front of me. Would you do the same? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 9 through 12. And I'm going to talk to you about grasping your answer right now. Grabbing hold of your answer today. Why don't we stand together for the reading of Holy Scripture? 1 Corinthians 2, or as one present sage put it, 1 Corinthians 2, that's just wrong, isn't it? But as it is written, here, it is a quotation now from the Old Testament. We are reading 1 Corinthians 2:9, but the quotation is from the Old. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared. Someone say, has prepared. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them. Look at this. The things that eyes hadn't seen, ears hadn't heard, things that hadn't even entered the hearts, the minds of men, that God had prepared for those today. Look at this. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received, not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God. Now watch this, that we might know. Not that we would be clueless, but that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God, that we might know. Let me tell you, we have been waiting for things that have already come. They are already here. And when you awaken to it, when you know it, then you step right into it. If you don't awaken to it, you'll always be sitting waiting for that which has come, hoping for that which is already at hand. You may be seated, thank you. For asking your answer today, you have more than you know. I'm going to say that again. You've got more than you know. We incorrectly see ourselves. We see ourselves as people who are lacking, who are wanting, who are deficient, who are not supplied, hoping that he will come and give us the things that we need. The truth of the matter is you are abundantly supplied. The truth of the matter is you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Do you understand that the truth of the matter is that you are complete in him? Not only do you have more than you know, you have more than you're willing to let yourself believe. I find myself doing this. That's why I'm preaching to you, because I know we're peas of the same pod. We do the same stuff. God opens himself to us, and we think, no way. Can't be. Not that. That's not me. That was my struggle, even in the call of this ministry. The call of the ministry wasn't a big deal. That's when he defined things to me. When he started talking to me about healing the sick and casting out devils, I was doing really good when he said, go into the ministry. Oh, yes, Lord. When he said, I want you to heal the sick and cast out devils, I thought, you're really not talking to me, are you? And it wasn't that I didn't believe in it or had a bad taste in my mouth on it. I just couldn't see myself doing that. I said, that's not me. Let me tell you, you've got more than you know, and you've got more than what you're willing to let yourself believe. When you believe it, that doesn't make it. When you believe it is when you can start acting in it. Our belief doesn't create God. Our belief doesn't even create the things of God. It just opens our heart to the realities that are right before us that up to that point are either unseen or denied. Quit waiting for something that has already come. But access those blessings right here, right now. It's absolutely absurd for anybody to walk out of this room depressed. The joy of the Lord is here right now. Come on. There's no reason for us to walk out of this place stressed when the peace of God has already come. You hear this? Why should we leave here in pain when surely he's bore our sicknesses and carried away our pain? It's that which is already for us. It is among us. It is right here. So you say, well, all right, preacher, I hear that, but how in the world do I get to that point? Well, all I can tell you is how it's worked for me. And I'm still working on it, but I'll tell you how it's worked for me. There's a couple of things that have helped me grab an answer of God and bring it into the now, the things of God that are present but must be laid hold on. And one of them is this, and I alluded to it the other night, is when you finally come to the place that you realize you don't have to make it happen, that you don't have to make it happen. You would, if listening to some Christians, you would think that the gospel, the kingdom, and even the king of the kingdom is totally dependent upon them. I tell people I got delivered. I got a testimony. I got delivered. I was in West Texas a few years ago, and I was doing both a seminar and an evening crusade. I don't often do that, but this church wanted that, and that's what we were doing. And so after there was a morning, an afternoon, and an evening service that was taking place. I'd already done the morning service. We went to lunch with the staff. They had quite a large staff. We all went out, and it was the typical. My wife understands how that when we sit down at the table with the staff, we get the same questions all the time. It's the same ones. How did you meet each other? You know. So it was almost like we thought we could just maybe get a little tape recording of what we know the questions would be. Just sit down to the table, push the button there, and we could eat our meal while they get all the answers. But anyhow, they all wanted to know about, but at that time I was single, they wanted to know about my calling, the opening, how these things took place, and how I knew the gift of God had come and such. And so, anyhow, I told them how early I had gotten saved at age 7. I told you that Sunday, age 8, I got called into the ministry. It was at 9 that I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was traveling full time by the time I was 15, and so on. And so we went back to this the afternoon service, and I was back at the, well, in those days it was the tape table. Does anybody remember tapes? That was the stuff we used to have just after we stopped carving in stone. But I was back there at the tape table, and someone asked me the question, do you happen to have your personal testimony on tape? Well, I did, but at that meeting, because you cannot bring everything all the time, I didn't happen to have it. I said, if you'll write our office, we do have that on tape, and you could hear it that way. And when they walked off, one of the associates was standing right next to me, and he said to me, I thought you said that you got saved when you were 7. I said, I did. And he says, and you told me that, like you walked right through this, and 9, filled with the Holy Ghost, 12, you understood the call to evangelism, and 15, you're traveling, and he said, I said, that's true. He says, well, you got saved way back then. He said, you don't have a testimony. I said, what are you talking about? You got your testimony, you don't have a testimony. And he thought you had to be mean for a long time. That, you had to run a prostitution ring or ride a motorcycle with chains and shoot a few people and shoot up drugs and then get delivered and then you got a testimony. Well, I got delivered. Are you hearing me? I said, listen, my testimony was you walk in grace from beginning to end. Here's my goal. I wanted my children and I want my grandchildren to become born of the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost so early in life that they don't ever remember a time they didn't know Jesus. Oh, someone needs to wave a hanky right there. Yeah, it's true. Thank you. Get it out. Beautiful. But I did get delivered. Now, I didn't get delivered from, heroin. I didn't get delivered from alcohol. But here's where I got delivered. I got delivered. Now, listen to how I'm going to say this. I got delivered from thinking God needed me to be God. You say, oh, arrogance. Well, no, that could be understood as arrogance, but that's not what it was. It was this idea that I thought, well, let me tell you how it came down for me. I was preaching, and I said something like this to folks. I told them that if you'll believe God, he can do anything. If you'll trust the Lord, he can work a miracle for you. If you'll come to him in faith tonight, he will set you free. He will heal you. He can heal you if you will believe. And the Holy Spirit arrested me in that message, and he said, I can do it whether you believe or not. He said, what made you think I needed you to be me? Did you hear this? What made you think I needed anything from you to empower, enable, or make me capable? Wow. Now, I'll tell you what that'll do for you, preacher. It'll make you second guess all the rest of your sermon. What am I going to do with the rest of these points? Yeah. And I understood that. I understood he wasn't saying that faith has no part in the kingdom or no operative benefit. I get that. But the mistake that I was making was that I thought that God had some level of need for me to do what he could do. And we start looking at faith at times almost as if it's a spiritual commodity. That you have what a commodity is or a monetary. Like you go to God and you say, well, I need to be healed of a brain tumor. And God says, well, I do brain tumors. That's good. Yeah. Okay. How much faith do you have? Well, I happen to have $7 of faith. And God says, that's pretty good. But you got to understand that brain tumors nowadays are going for $10 of faith. So here's what you got to do. You got to go home and you got to pray a little more and fast some, and sing all night long and whatever. And then and come. And when you get your faith up, to $10 of faith, and you can come back here, and we can get this job done. And as you walk out the door now on the edge of depression because you didn't get it, and he says, oh, by the way, we happen to have a blue light special going on. We really can't get rid of the tumor for $7 of faith, but we can change it from being malignant to benign. and then the doctors could take it out. Now, I'm being really, really harsh here, aren't I? That's because I'm from New York, and that's my bad attitude. But you know people have said things like that. You know they've said things, just, oh, we didn't have enough faith for that, but we got enough faith for this stuff. As if God is dependent on us. I got delivered from thinking God needed me to be God. And when that happened, I realized that I didn't have to make this happen. And what that did was that it unburdened me from having to be the performer, to be adequate, to be. How many people do we know that struggle, don't even bother to reach out to Him for a miracle because they believe they're inadequate? They're inadequate spiritually. They're inadequate in their understanding. They believe inadequacy in their faith, and they just don't want to be disappointed. So they don't come at all. It's because they think that God needs them to be Him. Can I release you from this today? You know how you can get an answer, how you can get a miracle right now, is when you realize that He's everything that you need. You say, now, Dale, are you telling me that faith is never involved? Oh, no, I didn't say that, because you'll see in the Scripture that there are many times that faith is addressed, but you got to understand, you're not a manufacturer of faith, you're a receiver of faith. He is the author and finisher of your faith. If what you need tonight is faith, there's no sweat. Here's what I don't do. No more do I tell people, come to Him in faith and He will set you free. I just tell them, come to Him. That's all I say. If you'll come to Him, you will find in Him everything that you need. Come on. If you have no hope, you'll discover the God of all hope when you come to Him. When you come to Him, if you are unrighteous, He will be your righteousness. If you need faith, He'll authorize faith within you. That's who He is. That's what He's like. I have learned now to put my faith in Him rather than my faith in me. We're struggling trying to have faith in our faith. Woo! Rather than faith in our God. Now, I could build on this and it would may even become more clearly, but I'm going to tell you, I got delivered from thinking God needed me to be God. You know, I was just finishing a TV taping a couple of years ago in Buffalo, New York, with a great man of God named Tommy Reed. And Tommy Reed asked me a question. He was about 83 at the time, 84. God's used him all over the world. He traveled with Lester Sumrall. He was on the board of Young Gi Cho. He built a mega church in the western New York area. And I've known him since my teenage years. I preached in his church when I was in my teens and early 20s. So we knew each other. I say all that not to puff up something. I saw that to make the next statement more understandable. When we left the studio, we were driving to dinner, he looked at me, he was driving the car, just turned for a moment, looked back, and he said, Dale, when you go into a crusade service, what are you expecting? Now, he didn't ask that question because he didn't have any idea who was in the back seat. I just told you, he's known me since I'm my teenage years. He was going deeper. He was going way past face value. He said, when you go to a crusade service, anywhere on the earth, what exactly are you expecting? I said, that's a very easy answer. I said, I'm always expecting more than me. Did you hear that? Now, that was not a statement of humility. It could be understood that way. But that's not what I was trying to, not just I'm so humble. No, it's not what I was trying to say. I'm saying, here's the deal. I'm expecting God to do anything and everything that I have faith for. But let me tell you what else I think. I think He's here to blow my mind. I think He's here to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I've ever asked or even thought about. I realize today now that my faith is not His lid and my giftings are not His boundaries. I used to think that way. I used to think I needed to get my faith way up there because He couldn't do it. If I didn't believe, if I didn't have a gift in that area, if I didn't have grace in that area, if I didn't have favor in that area, if I didn't have power, if I didn't have dominion in that area, then we weren't going to see any results. So I had to get it out there. That'll wear you right out, buddy. Come on. When I finally realized He had given grace, He had given gifts, He had poured out anointing, And I know that. I know where I can walk in those areas. But I never see that anymore as my limitations. I came in this room tonight. I came in here expecting more than me. More than me. Come on. More than me. He's here to do that. Right now. So he doesn't need me to be him. And all I need is him. I can step right into that moment and know that he's right there, complete, full, in everything I desire. Here's something else that helps me get an answer right now. Not only when I figured out I don't have to make it happen, but when I realize that he's already provided what I need. Let me say it to you like this. My God is proactive, not reactive. Can I say that out loud again? He's proactive, not reactive. He's ahead of the devil. He's ahead of your needs. He's ahead of your trouble. See, we see God like someone that comes behind the enemy. And we hear people talk like this. They may not say it that way, but that's how they perceive him. They see God as someone that will come through in the nick of time. And so we see the devil starts a fire over here, and this is how we see God. We see God say, he starts a fire over there. Watch me. I come right on and put that fire right out because I'm greater than that fire. Oh, he's done another one. You got another problem over there? No problem. I can come right over there, and I can stop that thing right now. And oh, you see he's doing something there? Well, I'm not going to do it today nor tomorrow. But before you go over, let me tell you, before you sink, you know you can count on me because I'm going to come over there. I'm going to put that fire. Look at that. I put that fire out right over there, too. That's not the way it is at all. Let me tell you, before the devil can start the fire, he's already there as the answer. Before I even approach the day of trouble, the eternal one is already there. I'm going to tell you, in the light of Scripture, before you call, I will answer. And while you're still speaking, I will listen. I'm going to tell you that the Lamb was slain, Revelation 13:8, from the foundation of the world. I'm going to tell you from 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes, don't you like this, you were healed. That's not a misreading. You were healed. Now please excuse my grammar again. But before I get sick, I were healed. Did you hear that? Before I get sick, I were healed. That's why that if this body comes under attack and the enemy of my soul comes to me and says, well, I know you've gotten healed before, but I don't know, do you think you can get healed of this one? I tell him, I don't think so. I think I'm already healed. I think he's already provided. I found that I could enter into a miracle right now when I realize that I didn't have to wait for him, and when I realize neither did I have to motivate him, stir him, or activate him. It's amazing how that so many people see God as someone who has great potential, but basically sits in neutral. And that somehow you got to start him up. You got to get him going. You know, here we are. We're in Texas now. And so here's how we see prayer. We see prayer kind of like a cattle prod. We think if we poke him enough times, he'll move. Oh, don't look at me in that tone of voice. Let me tell you, he's a moving God. If he looks like he's sitting still to you, it's because of the same reason why that if you look at a plane that's a long ways in the distance, it looks like it's barely moving. It's flying down there at 500 miles an hour. You're just so far away from it. It looks like it's barely moving. And if God looks like he's barely moving, maybe it's because you're too far away. Draw near to him. Which means you got to jump it up to light speed, buddy. Because that's where he dwells. That's what he's like. When I begin to realize I don't have to make it happen. That's what he is. He is the provider. And I begin to realize he's already provided. There's nothing that I'll ever ask of him that he'd have to say, can you give me a minute so I can whip that up? It's already there. It's already there. My God, I feel the pull of his healing power right now. I said that, I felt it real strong right here, right here. If you need a miracle, you need to reach out and grab your miracle right now. I'm serious. There's a flow. Whenever I see those streams of healing, I've told you, maybe I didn't tell you in this crusade, but I see them as a stream when they come in. Somewhere in that message, that stream becomes a river, and we're there right now. We're there right now. Those of you that are in pain, receive your gift right now. Come on. Those of you that have sight problems or hearing problems or whatever it is, receive your gift right now. There's a healing flow that's really strong here right now. The provision was here before you arrived. It was established for you by whose stripes you were healed. When Isaiah looked at it in the spirit, when he got an eye full of it, he saw the carrying away of disease at the whipping post, he said it this way. He said, we are healed. He didn't say we can get healed. When he looked at 700 years before the birth of Christ, when he looked at the sacrifice, he said, good night, look at that. We are healed. We're healed. We're healed. He saw it as a right now thing. I don't know why. I read that scripture. You all know, by his stripes we are healed. And I don't know why I read that so many times. I thought, yes, by his stripes we are healed. And if I ever get healed, that's what it'll be. That's not what he said. He didn't say by his stripes you can get healed. He looked at it and he said, this is the way it is. When he stepped in that moment, he said, it's a done deal. Peter looked at it and he says, you were healed. We're trying to get God to do stuff he's already done. Yeah, we're trying to twist his arm. We're trying to earn it or work up enough faith to give it to him to get it. You understand how far off we've been on this thing. We're trying to get him to accomplish something that's already there. Now, you enter your miracle through rest, not through struggle. Let me say this. There's a variety of ways in which people do enter the gifts of God, but one of the ways that worked the best for me, and I find it's working for a lot of people today, is when they enter the miracle of God through rest, not through struggle. Now, if you look at the book, let me explain what I mean. You look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, chapter 4, and I'm not going to read these two chapters to you, but what you find in those two chapters is Israel, the example of Israel coming out of Egypt, the land of bondage, into the land of promise, all right? That's what he's addressing. He says this. He talks about how that both generations got out of Egypt, the young generation and, of course, the adults, all right? The children got out and the adults. They all came through, passed through the Red Sea. Now, the deal is they all got out of Egypt, but they didn't all get into the land of promise. The elder generation did not enter in. And the scripture is abundantly clear why. There is no need of having to interpret it or whatever. It just bluntly says they did not enter in because of unbelief. That's what it says. They did not enter in because of unbelief. Now, this second generation got in. You would think that he would have said, and they entered in by faith. But he didn't say that. It was involved, but he didn't call it that. He said it this way, they entered into my rest. And that became a thematic thought over the next few verses and even into chapters, that they entered into the rest of God. And then I understood something, that in the mind of God, faith and rest are synonymous. I mean, if you were to walk into God's office and pick up his thesaurus and look up the word faith, you'd see the word rest there. And if you looked up the word rest, you'd see the word faith there. Because God thinks like this, that when faith comes, the struggle ends. Am I making any sense yet tonight? And so I realize then that the way into a miracle of God is not through beating your brains out, trying to be super spiritual, screaming at the heavens all night long and battling with the devil. You're better off resting. Because if you can rest in who he is, if you can just simply, come on, sit back on who he is, sit on his lap. Rest in his name. You will find that he will draw you into your miracle. Let me finish. Because I think it's time to grab it. Are you ready to do that? you enter into a miracle right now? Well, lots of ways, more than I've outlined, but I can tell you when you figure out you don't have to make it happen, that'll help you. Otherwise, you'll hang yourself up before you ever get there. If you'll know that he's already provided it, so you don't have to qualify for it, talk him into it, or earn it in some way. And we just need to stop doing that. We need to stop doing it for ourselves, and we need to stop doing it for others. Do you know what I mean by that? I know I'm not supposed to re-preach the other points, but I've heard Christians get up and pray like this. Every year of my life, I've heard it this week. Not in this room, but I've heard it this week because I've been around for a few folks. And here's how they'll pray. If they don't pray this way for themselves, they still think this way, so they pray this way for someone else. They'll say, now, Lord, sister so-and-so needs to get healed. And Jesus, you know what a faithful saint she's been. She has paid her tithes. She has played the organ for 47 years. She has led the choir. And God, you know she's taught the 10-year-old girl class. And Jesus, you know nobody's willing to go into the 10-year-old girl's class. So, Lord, we are asking that you would heal, as if God's up in heaven saying, well, you know, I'd kind of forgotten about all that. I guess we're going to have to cough one out for the old girl. Because we think we have to earn it somehow, that we have to make it happen. Come on, guys, he's already provided. He's already provided. He's already provided, and you're going to get into this thing through rest, not through struggle. And finally, I'll say this. One of the ways I found to grab a miracle, enter into it right now, is to own it, not simply believe it's possible. You need to own your miracle. I've been telling you that all along, one way or another. Even last night, after people received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I looked them right in the eye and said, did you get it? Is it yours? Because here's what I know. If you don't own it, the devil will talk you out of it. If he doesn't talk you out of it, your own head will. Sometimes I think we give ourselves more problem than the devil anyhow. I really do. I really do. I think we give ourselves more problems than the devil. The devil's not always around anyhow. He's not omnipresent. So sometimes he counts on you to beat yourself up. You need to own it, not just believe it's possible. You see, the gospel has to be personalized to be activated in you. So I say to people, it's like when you become born of the Spirit, here's the thing, Jesus no longer is the Lord. He's my Lord. Is that what happened to you? He was no longer the Savior of the world. That thing became really real to you. He became my Savior. But you got to own it. Psalms 107, verse 2, you all know this first part. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord, but watch the rest of it. Watch what happens after the comma. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Come on, he has redeemed you. Own it. Say so. See, the enemy understands this, that if you don't own it, you'll never have it. It's already yours, but if you won't own it, you'll never have it. And that's the reason why that one of the biggest challenges we have is to stand up and say, it's mine, I got it. Am I right? We sit on it. We want to mull it over. We want professional people to tell us we got it. You know, we want the lawyer to say, it's all done. Or if it's a doctor, it's a health. We want the doctor to say, okay, I think it's done. Or you know, whatever it is. We want the counselor to say, I think you're well. We want the banker to say, you don't have the financial problem anymore, buddy. All right, now we'll believe it. We're waiting on someone else because we're not willing to step up and say, hey, it's slow. And the enemy knows that. We need to wake up and recognize. You want to get a miracle right now? Really, do you want to get a miracle right now? You don't have to make it happen. He's already provided it. You don't have to bust a gut to get it. You'll get it in better by rest than you will by struggle. But you need to own that baby. You
confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe your heart God's raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You confess it with your mouth. This is the way it is. You're not talking yourself into it. You're just harmonizing with it. Wait, did y'all hear what I said? You're not talking yourself into it. You're just harmonizing with him. You'll decree a thing, and it'll be established for you. Quoted this scripture in part each night, Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by for their testimony. And I preached the message last time I was here. Pastor remembered it. I'm amazed. The message says that when God says yes, you're to say amen. Remember that? Remember the scripture that speaks of that? When he's saying yes, here's what you do. You don't say, I'll think about it. When he's saying yes, you don't say, I'll get back with you on that. When he says yes, you don't say, well, let's see if someone else thinks you're right. When he says yes, you just, there you go. That's how you do it. There you go. Amen. The way it is. It puts you in harmony with him. The way you enter a miracle right now is you walk right into it. But you can't walk into it if you're walking contrary from him. I don't mean sin. That'll blow it too. But that's not what I'm talking about. You just, come on, you just walk with him. You work with him. How hard would it be to work with someone if they contradicted you all the time? Think about it. How could you get a job done if you step out and say, I think we're going to get this job done this week, and your partner says, I think it's going to take us a month. You say, well, at least it'll be a great day. I think it's going to rain by noon. How hard it'd be to work with a guy like that? Could you walk together that way? You need to own it. When he says yes, all right, that's it, way it is. I want amen that one. Would you stand with me all over the house right now? The healer is right here. Now, wherever you had that need, whatever you were asking God for, and I hope you did. I hope you identified something. If not, you better do it right now, but I hope you've already done it. I want to ask you to do something like we did Sunday. I want you to begin to bless him and praise him and worship him for a moment. I want you to soak here for a minute. Don't you run right into this thing. I want you to soak here for a moment and worship him. And I'm going to tell you to worship him for who he is and respect to that thing. Now, I said it Sunday, but I didn't define it. And I want to make clear what I'm telling you to do. Whatever you focus on is all you will see. And wherever you're looking, that's where you're going. That's the reason why that if you're in the back seat of the car, someone's talking to you that's driving and they're turning around, it isn't long before you're going to say, would you please look ahead? Because wherever they're looking, hello, they're going to end up. And if you focus on your trouble and on your problem, now you don't have to deny it or say the problem doesn't exist, but if you focus on it, if you make it the front and center, that's all you'll see. Now, denying it or ignoring it does not help at all. That's absurdity. What you do, this is what I'm learning to do. Is when I got a problem right there, I don't skirt that problem. I don't deny that that problem's there. You know what I do? I go and I step right in the middle of that guy. And I look up. And I tell him who he is. Right in the midst of that and right in keeping with that. So if it's a financial issue, and I go right into the middle of that thing, and I say, you're Jehovah Jireh El Shaddai. That's who you are. We're dealing with this financial need right here, Lord, but let me tell you who you are and what I know about you. And I don't just say it to him, I exalt him in that way. If I need healing, I don't deny that I'm dealing with an issue, but I don't focus on it. I just go right into the middle of that thing. I don't deny it. I get right in the middle of that thing. And I say, all right, Lord, now we're dealing with this, whatever it would be, this circulation issue, this heart problem, this brain issue, this whatever, this lung thing. And I tell him who he is. I tell him who he is. Because you see, the scripture says, and you know this, that God inhabits. He inhabits the praise. So that word inhabits in the Hebrew also can be understood as he is enthroned. That means his kingdom rule or power comes where he's praised. But you didn't need a language lesson to know that, because you knew that from experience. That when you really praise him, the power of God comes right there. So what I'm learning to do is praise him specifically, not generically. I'll go right into the midst of that thing, and I will begin to worship him, delight in him, magnify him, glorify him, speak of his name, and praise him for who he is, right in the face, right in the midst of that thing. And what happens is his power comes into that moment. And when his dominion breaks forth, when it shows, when heaven and earth intersect, everything bows to who he is. So, for the next few moments, I want you to enter into the presence of God. And I want you to speak of him. I want you to delight in him. I want you to magnify him. Come on. I want you to get to the place where all you see is him. And worship him right now. Worship him. But worship him in keeping with what your issue was. Tell him if you needed peace, tell him you're the Prince of Peace. But then not these problems are going to eat my lunch. Oh no, oh God. You are the one that rides on the storm. You're the one that walks right on the midst of stormy waters. You are the one who, with the word of your mouth, says, peace, be still, and the winds and the waves lay right down. That's who you are. There is no tormentor. There is no fear. Come on. There is no anxiety. There is no worries that will triumph over us. Because you are our God and you lift us up above the devil. Someone worship him with me. Come on, worship him with me. You that have been dealing with illness in your body, this is the healing Jesus that's here right now. Come on, surely you bore, surely you bore, surely you bore. It's a sure thing. It's an absolute. It's not a can be, not a maybe. Surely you have bore our sicknesses, carried away our pains, our diseases. He poured away at the cross. It was nailed to the cross. It died there. It no longer has dominion, and it wasn't resurrected. It was put into permanent death. I worship you. I worship you. Come on, I sense that power of God right now. Would you worship him with me? I sense that power of God. You should too. You should too. It's coming right here. It's coming upon you right now. Receive your miracle right now. Receive your miracle right now. There's great healing. There's great healing that's happening. Cloudiness of mind is leaving right now. It's happening in this room. You hear me? There's clear focus. It's coming to people. I see that. I see the healing of the Lord coming on brains, on minds right now. We've had confusion. Hard to be sharp. Hard to hold focus. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? That's your heat being healed of that right now. Anyone that's been dealing with that, you need to grab your miracle. Grab it right now. Grab it. Let that. If there's a witness within your heart, you know you're getting that miracle. You need to own that baby. Don't say, well, we'll see. You need to grab it right now. You need to say, Lord, that's mine. That's mine. Right. I speak clearness of mind right now. Sharpness in the wonderful name of Jesus. Maybe you've had circulation problems in that way. Be healed right now. Whatever it is, be healed right now. In the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we were worshiping, I saw a flow of healing come into this room. And I saw it come in multiple places. And it was in the chest area. Right in the chest. I saw it on the front. I saw it right back here. And I saw it in the rear part of the church. Again, three times. Bang, bang, bang. Everywhere I was looking, I saw streams of healing coming in. Healing people in the chest. Now, the first impression that came to me was respiratory illness. That's how it first showed to me. I saw people being healed of problems in their respiratory system, in their lungs. I saw the same thing happen in the sinuses. Opening that up, there's great miracles that are happening. I said, is that it? Is it a respiratory miracle? Because I kept on seeing it in the chest, but the first impression was respiratory. God said to me, no, there's hearts being healed as well and circulation systems that are being healed. So if you needed a miracle in your heart or in your lungs or in your respiratory system, I'm telling you. First of all, I'm going to tell you, if you had shortness of breath or problems in your sinuses, you need to take a deep breath right now because it's already gone. There's healing that's already happened. This thing was not going to happen. It was already in force. If you didn't get it yet, you'll get it right now. because it's here with great power. But sometimes you need to wake up and look for your miracle. It's already upon you. But I release right now in this room divine healing that commands miracles in your chest. In your chest. Be healed right now. No more heart problems in this place. Come on, are you receiving that from God? Is there a witness within you? Some of you can feel it in your body. Well, maybe you didn't have pain or pressure in your chest. Maybe you did. If you did, it'll leave right now. But others of you have that peace of God, that sense, yes, that's right. He's come for me. In Jesus' name, be healed in that chest right now. No more heart problems. No more circulation issues. No more respiratory problems. Be healed in Jesus' name. No emphysema. No damage from chemicals or smoking. Be healed right now in the name of the Lord. No emphysema. Be healed in Jesus' name. No bronchial problems. Be healed in the wonderful name of Jesus. Even in your sinuses, be open and be clear. Be set free. No allergies or asthmas. By the word of the living God. Receive that. Receive that. Has anyone got an amen to a yes from God? There comes a yes that's a witness. It's a clear witness. You pick it up in your body or you pick it up in your heart. By the heart, I don't mean blood pumping organ. No, I'm talking about your spirit. Something that just rings with you and says, that's mine. That's what you respond to. He's always first. And then we respond. We're not the initiators. We're the responders. We're the receivers of the great gift of God. Wherever else you had a need, just put your hands there. Would you do that? Just put your hands there. Let's believe God for every kind of need. From head to foot. From head to foot. I will say be healed in the eyes. As I felt a peace of God on that tonight. Be healed in the eyes. But in the brain, be healed. Come on, your scalp, be healed. It's all of the head, I'm saying, be healed right now. Your ears ring and roar no more. May I say that again? No more deafness. I rebuke a deaf spirit right now in Jesus' name. Command the ears to hear correctly. Have every frequency returned to you that is healthy and normal. By the word of the Lord, receive that gift and no more roaring, buzzing, or ringing in the ears. I know I'm on target with that one. In Jesus' name. I believe someone's getting that one right now. I do. I believe someone's getting that right now. No more roaring, buzzing, ringing in the ears. No more muffling. Hear accurately, be whole, and no more reoccurring infections. Be healed in those ears in Jesus' name. In your throat, be healed. Come on, all the way through your shoulders, be healed. Your neck, your back, be completely well in the wonderful name of Jesus. When heart and lungs, we've said it, you're made new, you're healthy, you're well, you're free, you're delivered. I declare that in Jesus' name because it is already so. Be healed all in the digestive system and in the core of your body, be well. No liver, no bladder problems. No more kidney ailment. Be healed in Jesus' name. All the way through the intestines. Your legs, your feet, be cured, be healthy. No more cramping. Come on. Healthy circulation right now. Healthy circulation right now. I'm going to wait on that. Healthy circulation in the lower part of the body. In the lower part of the body. Someone receives that right now. Own it. Own it, right? If you've dealt with circulation problems or problems in the lower in your limbs, be healed right now. Right now. Come on. No more neuropathy. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. No more neuropathy. Every kind of healing. No, not all these are words of knowledge. A lot of stuff. I'm just praying now. You just receive what you need. And if you say, Dale, you didn't say mine. I'm saying the name of Jesus. That's above everything. Don't worry about whether I called your thing out. We've called him. And he is your help and your hope and your health. Now, every joint be well. No more arthritis, bursitis. No more inflammations. No more reashata in the great name of Jesus. Oh, I feel that real strong in my hand right now. Jesus, it's right there. Every disease be gone. No cancers. Every type of disease, diabetes, every disease, come on, in your blood, be healthy, be well, no disease, no pain. Can I do this? We've talked about the fact that when he says yes, we should be saying amen. But I, when I'm in a crusade service, I don't like people to have to say amen alone. I like to jump in with them. I like to harmonize with you on that amen. And I think there's power in that. I do. I think there's power in agreement. When you agree with him, and when we stand together before the presence of the Lord and say, it is true, what your word has said has been witnessed to us, has been enacted in us. And we have that grace of God now functioning. Amen. Amen. Anybody believe God's touched them tonight? Believe you got a miracle tonight? Can I say amen with you? Can I say amen with you? All right, but I want to be direct and specific. I don't believe in generic stuff. I don't think it hits the target. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to go quick. I'm not going to take long. I'm not going to answer prayer requests because I think God's already worked miracles. What I want to do is I want to say amen to what you believe God just gave you. So if you had issues with the heart or lungs or circulation and you believe God just healed you, would you come here right now? I'm going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to say amen. I'm going to say amen. Especially if you have any indication of it. Come on, come real quickly. Come real quickly. If you had any other kind of problem that we talked about or that you just feel God has healed tonight, just come right now. Come right away. Be bold. Be bold and own your miracle. Own your miracle. I don't want to have anyone here saying, I want God to do this. I only want those who can say to me, I have a sense somehow either the pain left my body or I see different, I hear different, I breathe different. Or maybe it wasn't a painful kind of thing you could feel, but there was a witness within that that was you and you got it. That's all I need. I'm just looking for a place to say amen to a yes, not a hope so. That's all I want to do. I want to say amen to a yes. And I'm going to agree with you. I don't want a long testimony. I don't want anyone to tell me a story. Just tell me what I'm saying yes to. What he said yes to, so I can say amen. That's better. Better such as just my eye got healed or my ear. You know, if you had a hearing issue tonight, I kept feeling like God was healing people of roaring or ringing in the ears and deficiency of hearing. If you got that, you believe you got that, just simply say, my ear got it. That's all I want to know. Don't tell me how long you had it, how your grandma had it, how that you went to 80 doctors about it. Just said, my ear got healed. I'm going to say amen. Not because I don't care about the rest, but look how many are here to seal what God has done. Amen. What did Jesus do?
Through my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has healed me of leukemia.
Amen.
He's done it before, he'll do it.
Now, this is ours, and I say amen to that. No disease and leukemia, you're in that very category. You have no place here now. The spirit of this thing we have driven out through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his stripes, you, just like the word says, you are healed. You are healed. Now, show all the evidence of that in any blood test. In any kind of examination, and enjoy life to the full, all the way to the day he calls you into glory. No disease. Someone shout amen with him on that. Amen. Amen. Right to the point, what did he do?
You hear me? Because I have no more seizures.
Amen.
I've been seizure-free.
Free.
Seizure. Nothing in the name of Jesus.
And I lay my hands on you that you never have a seizure again. Could someone agree with them for that? Come on, we need to step up on that one in Jesus' name. Tell me, ladies, what happened here?
He healed me of tinnitus, neuropathy, and allergies. I got a smorgasbord.
It's quiet in the ear now?
Yes.
You don't have any soreness or pain in the feet now?
No.
Really, can you feel the bottom of them?
I can feel the bottoms of my feet.
That's a real miracle right there.
Pray, Jesus. Yes.
You have the evidence of it. You can feel it in your body. You got the evidence of it. Then you got the witness of his Holy Spirit. It's so in Jesus' name. I say amen. I'm glad you came tonight. This was worth it, wasn't it? Amen. How about you?
I'm healed of diabetes.
I agree with you. Now you show all the evidence of that at every level now, even as he's witnessed that within you. Amen. He did a great miracle in your house yesterday, didn't he? Filling that guy with the Holy Ghost.
Just with these two.
All right, you're making sure they're testifying, aren't you? I like that. I like that. My dear sister, what did the one?
No more migraines.
I say amen to that. Where did they start? Were they from here or back there? I'm going to put my hands right there and say, never again. Never again. I really sense that. How about you, dear? What did Jesus do?
Really? And you can feel the difference now? Can you walk and move in them?
Yes.
believe God's making them whole, don't you? Come on now, let's just walk through this miracle for a minute. That's how you do it. You start stepping up into it. That's how they got through the Red Sea. They didn't say, I believe it. They stepped out and started going right through it, didn't they? Amen. And in Jesus' name, she says, no more neuropathy. Will someone agree with her? Come on, no more neuropathy. In the name of the Lord, my God. I say, not only that, but dear, be healed of what caused it. You got to understand something. If God, let's say you got bad eyesight because of diabetes. And then in the service, your eyesight returns to whole. Let me explain something to you. He didn't just heal your eyes. He healed that thing that caused the eyes to go down. He goes always to the root of the problem. The lady with the issue of blood, the Bible says that that the very root of that problem was healed. That's what the scripture declares unto us. The fountain of her blood dried up. It went right. God went. He didn't just give her a bandage. You understand that? He didn't just help her clot a little bit. He went right to the problem and took it out. You want to believe God's made you whole, dear? Whole, whole. Take that in Jesus' name. Hi, buddy. I saw the favor of God on you tonight. I did. When I sat down, I looked over. I thought, that guy's here, and a miracle's going to happen for him. What did Jesus do for you?
Help my kidneys.
You have new life in your kidneys. A creative miracle showing. Let me hold on just a minute longer. Yes, you got a miracle of God in your kidneys. I know you already said that. I'm just telling you, I'm agreeing with you right now. Now, you look for real changes on that. All right? That's the presence. That's the gift of God. How about you, dear? What did the Lord do for you?
Oh, it's going to heal my legs. My legs have serious circulation problems.
Yeah.
I had to have surgery.
Now, when we spoke that, was there a peace or a witness that came to you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the interaction of God with you.
Yes.
Own that right now and know and have all the days of your life perfect circulation in your legs in Jesus' name. See, there was a strong pull on that, and there should be a noticeable witness within you, both in your legs as well as in your spirit on that thing. Yeah, good. Glory to God. Amen. And it looks like you're part of the crew here.
I am.
Did you just come to support them, or did you get a miracle too?
I got a miracle too.
What did you get? Tell me what really happened.
I have a 40% curve in my spine.
Uh-huh.
Scoliosis.
Yeah. And what's going on?
God is healing.
How do you know?
Because His Word says He has
okay,
already.
That's a good answer. There should be something going on in you that gives you also that connection with the Word. That's what you look for.
Yes.
Because there's an agreement between the Spirit and the Word.
Yes.
There's a witness that comes somehow
yes.
in that very way. So I'm going to put my hands on your back because the Word of the Lord has made that back new. Receive that and be whole. In the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. How long has it been that way? How long was it like that? Yeah. That's the end of that for you tonight.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I know that.
Now.
God doesn't want me.
Yeah, right. Now. One leg's probably a little shorter than the other one because of that, isn't it? Do you know which one? Sit down and let's see. Just sit down. Relax and turn your feet and watch it turn like this. Okay, that's all right. You've done good right there.
Okay.
I just one side's up a little bit, but it's not being there long. Is this coming out right now? Well, I can see it. Look at it. Look at it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that infirmity spirit that caused that thing, and I put it out right now. Now look, look with your eyes. With your eyes.
I know.
Yeah, right. I do too. I'm in front of you.
Right?
I know
it.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Listen, may your heart open up right now to the wonder of this glorious one. Because he's turning your system around, your bones, making them new. That was drawn way up, but it's not now. No, it sure isn't. It. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Now you be bold with your faith. Own that within your heart. Know that. God is, you've had that long enough. It's time for the end. Jesus is your Alpha and Omega. He is the end of your pain, and he is the beginning of all of your health. New days, good health, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise God. What did he do for us tonight?
Several things. Satanic flavor chili abuse, so they did a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'm feeling my organs being transformed.
Good.
I'm feeling scarring going away.
All right.
I'm feeling osteoarthritis.
Yes.
Leaving.
Good. I'm harmonizing with her right now, would you? Everything that has happened in the past that has been damaging at every level is healing right now in Jesus' name. And physically too. By his stripes. The evidence of it, the power of it, the witness of it is right there. Glory to God. I love it. I love it. Praise God. Man, tell me what he's doing.
Well, I was just able to get out of both that and that chair.
Yes.
Unassisted. No hands. Just my knees.
Really? So there's a progression of strength and difference just since Sunday.
Yeah.
Good night. Come on, church.
Since 2013, I haven't been able to sit in a chair like that. So
it's about time. It is time.
Elevated height chair because my knees are.
This is our day, isn't it? It is. It is. And the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter too, until the dawning of the day. Amen. I agree with you. Oh, praise God. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Yes, dear Lord.
Last night it was migraines, and tonight I had sinus allergy. Yes. Yes, sneezing all day long, pressure in the head. Yeah. Nothing.
I like nothing. You like nothing? In this case, I like nothing. Come on. Thank you, Lord, for clearing it up and opening it up. Thank you for removing the migraines last night. Right. You know, I know we said it was a Holy Ghost day, but it's amazing. People often will get healed in the Holy Spirit service. They often will be. We had a lady in New York that had a stroke, and for 3 years she had recovered pretty well from the stroke, but what she didn't do is she didn't sleep anymore. She didn't sleep all night long. She got the Holy Ghost that night. And on Monday night, where we normally do the Holy Spirit nights, and from that night forward, she slept perfect. She didn't even realize she got healed. She just thought, I got the Holy Ghost, went home, went to bed, and slept all night long for the first time in 3 years. And then from that night forward, that's our God. Hey, buddy, you got a miracle Sunday, didn't you?
Yes, my ankle was healed. I tore all the ligaments in it during football. Now I can jump.
Well, are you going to show me? Come on. Ooh, come on. Praise God.
I could always jump that high.
Come on. That's the word of the Lord to you. It's a healing word. And it restores you and makes you whole. We see it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, we prayed together Sunday morning because I think, what, you had to be at work or something Sunday night or something like that? Yeah. And you can see the noticeable tightness or he didn't have flexibility in that foot. But I can tell you right now, this guy is different in Jesus' name. Amen. What did the master do?
My circulation?
Yeah.
I'm believing that is absolutely a yes and amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to be able to feel my feet at night when I go to bed from now on.
That's right.
Also that my husband... test results are going to align with the word that I've gotten that says he's healed.
I receive that. I receive that same witness in me. I harmonize with you on that. I agree with you on that. Thank you, Lord, for the full healing in us and in our and in Al as well. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. There's power in that agreement. What's going on, man?
Continue healing of symptoms from Parkinson's and circulation in my leg. Arterial flow through my knee for many years. And I just ask for healing of that.
Yeah. You believe God's healing, right?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Why? I mean, is there something in your spirit that's happening? Is there something in your knee that's going on? What is that?
I'm just stepping out in faith.
Yeah. Good. Both knees are just the one. It's the name of Jesus. I speak life and health to all of you. Life and health to all of you. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the ongoing finished work in my brother. You are everything you said you are in Him. In Him. Love you, buddy. What a great God we have. What a great God we have. I think, did I miss you? You were right there in the aisle, weren't you? I just cruised right on by. Come on, what did Jesus do?
Well, for one, I had something here, I guess, working earlier today, I guess. You mentioned that, and every time you did, I felt His presence, so I received it.
No pressure there now. No tightness there now. I must lay my hands on you then in the name of Jesus and say, He's made you whole. Thank you, Lord, for taking this. This thing has been going on all day. Oh, I do feel the pull of God on that. I do right now. Jesus. Oh, God, I feel the fall, the power of the Lord on that. It's in His name that you're made whole. Ooh, do you feel that warmth on there that I feel right now? My hand's on fire. The name of Jesus makes you completely whole. Yeah, a new heart. Why not? That's right. Come on. Why not? Absolutely. Praise God. Did I miss anybody? Were you guys here for... What did Jesus do, man?
Well, I need an overhaul.
Yeah.
I need... new vision,
yeah.
New hearing, arthritis gone.
That's good.
And I can't seem to reach through and take hold of it.
Well, He's going to draw you in. We're going to believe God with that right now. Come on, you all love Him, don't you? Right now. I lay my hands on you because it's fine. You know you've done it. Now you've drawn near to Him, and He draws near to you. And it won't. And He's not going to stop this draw near thing when you walk out the door. He's going to continue it in the car. He's going to continue it when you lay down in your bed. He's going to continue it through the night. He'll continue it as you awaken in the morning. Amen. So you keep looking for the touch of God upon you. Yourself, my friend. Really, praise God. I like that. Come on. He says, I'm breathing better. Would you believe God with Him? I'm going to say it's true because He said it and you got it. And don't ever suffer with the allergies again.
Amen. Well, it's nice to walk in here congested and walk home not congested. Isn't that right? Nice to walk in here not feeling the bottoms of your feet and walking out feeling the bottoms of your feet. And all the other good things that God has done. You know, I never like to rush when I'm in the presence of the Lord. I mean, honestly, we all understand the concept of omnipresence. He's here all the time. But there's that place of manifest presence. That's a little different. That's where heaven and earth come together. That's when the miracles take place. I like to soak in that place and not run from it. And I love to worship him in that place. Exalt him like that. You know, we dismiss, but we don't close the service. We're not going to close what he's begun. Miracles will still happen in people as they go. We hear that pretty well everywhere we go on the earth. People tell us as they go, the miracles still happen. They'll grab one miracle right in the church, they'll walk out in the foyer, another one will happen to them. Everywhere we go, we hear that happen. Don't turn off your faith when you walk out the door. When we turn off these lights, don't turn off your faith. Keep focused on him. Thank you for what you've done tonight. Thank you for the answers to prayer. Thank you for straightening her back out tonight. Lengthening that leg right in front of our eyes. Thank you for giving my buddy new kidneys tonight. We're believing the gift of God has come upon him in that way. Thank you for taking pain out of bodies that they came in here with. You are the greatest, Lord. You're the glorious God. Thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that this sister right here received even last night. Oh, God, this is a week of greatness. Amen. 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 All right. Now we got one more service tomorrow night, unless Jesus comes back. If he comes back, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. If you're still around, grab a CD. There will be yours for free. That's just wrong, isn't it? Debbie will be in the back, I think, tonight. That can help you if you want to buy a CD of any of our teaching on faith, on healing, on deliverance. I did a series. Brother Schambach asked me to come back every year for 8 years and teach it in his events in Tyler, Texas. And it was a series called How to Handle Demonic Power Successfully. It was just a 2-CD series. Boy, it really gets right to it. And I'll tell you, if you understand, you know, you don't handle the devil by trying to put on the boxing gloves with him. You handle the devil by inviting the glory of the Lord into the moment. And boy, he'll flee from that every time. And we talk about that in the first, that's the first teaching of how to do that. And then the second message in there talks about the various ways Jesus handled the devil. We just work through the New Testament, watch the many different ways that Jesus put the devil out of his place. Some people only know one way. You know every way in which God does it. It's great. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Am I right on the time, Pastor? All right. So tomorrow night right here, 7. And we're going to anoint everybody with oil tomorrow. It's going to be a night of divine healing, but also of generational blessing is what we're really going for. All right. So give me a lot of oil, Pastor. All right. Did you bring any oil back from Israel? We'll put a drip of it in each. No? Okay. All right. God bless you guys. Have a fun night.